Solomon, very rich and very wise king, is famous for it, isn't he? You know, he wrote the book of Proverbs, wise sayings. He also wrote Ecclesiastes, and lots of very wise sayings in both those books. But he built this huge temple. So we've been reading about this recently. It's unbelievable what he put into that temple. It took about 10 years or more to build it. Thousands of people involved in building it. And it was absolutely magnificent. No doubt about that. We read the inside of it was covered with pure gold. The extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, which was overlaid with gold. So he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary. Just imagine, can you picture that? All this church covered in gold, all the walls covered in pure gold, hammered gold. How dazzling it must have been to see that. See, an agnostic some years ago said, I can't prove that there is no God, but I'm so sure that there's not that I don't want to waste my time. I'm glad the Queen of Sheba wasn't like that. She'd heard rumours about this famous king way up in Israel. And she could have said, it can't be true, can't be bothered to find out, I don't believe it's possible, but just forget it. But the Queen of Sheba was determined to find out the truth, if it was really true that there was this rich, wise king in the land of Israel. She could be bothered to find out, unlike this agnostic. She'd heard the rumours, were they true? When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship with the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. She heard he was very wise, so she had lots of things she didn't understand. She wanted to check him out. Now that was no simple thing to do, to travel to Israel. Now there's two possible sites of Sheba. Some scholars think it's in Ethiopia. The majority think it was in Yemen. So you see the red circle there. That's where most people believe Sheba was. So it was about 1,000 miles to travel to Israel. You couldn't hop on a plane in those days in a few hours. It would have taken weeks probably for the Queen of Sheba to travel to Israel. So it took a determined effort. She was really badly wanted to find out the truth. That's why she went to that trouble, to travel all that way. And we read that arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, quantities of gold, precious stones, she came to Solomon. Yes, no mean journey, a long trek, lots of servants with her, loaded up. I don't know if she wanted to bring riches to Solomon, but that's how they did it those days, didn't they? The rulers gave each other gifts. So we think she travelled perhaps 1,000 miles, and that's as the crow flies. It's probably further if she followed what they call the frankincense trail from Yemen up to Israel and beyond. So a long journey across not very good terrain either. Tiring, hot, dusty. But the Queen of Sheba was determined to find out the truth. So she went to all that trouble to find out the truth. So she arrived. She met this famous person that she'd heard all about. Not only was it true, but in fact she was gobsmacked when she came there and talked to Solomon. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. She wasn't disappointed when she got there. She was gobsmacked. In fact, she said, even half hadn't been told me. It's twice as good as I thought it would be. You're twice as rich or twice as wonderful as I'd heard. meeting this famous person at his palace. An unforgettable experience. So she went back to her own country with her amazing story. It's really true. I've really met him. It's true, Solomon. I've met him. Now, sadly, the story of Solomon didn't end well. It started so promising, didn't it? God said to Solomon at the beginning of his reign, "What do you want me to give you?" And Solomon said, "Give me wisdom." He didn't ask for riches. So God said, "Because you haven't asked for riches, I'll give you riches too, as well as wisdom." So Solomon, whilst he held on to that wisdom, he did okay. Then sadly, the wise Solomon became unwise. He messed up. We read further on in the book of Kings. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, that was his wife. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. Like all of us, Solomon was a flawed character. Did his wealth and fame go to his head? This should teach us not to put too much trust in human leaders, shouldn't it? Because they're all fallible. And bad leadership brings bad consequences, doesn't it? It did for Israel, because Israel split into two separate kingdoms, Israel and Judah. They went on as independent nations for a while, often at each other's throats, fighting each other. But that's what happened after Solomon's fall from grace. Israel soon split, and we had those two nations, Samaria, the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. Now in 730 BC, the Assyrians conquered Israel and took the people of Israel off as exiles to Assyria. And then a bit later on, same happened to Judah. 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Babylonian army, swept into Judah, conquered the city of Jerusalem. They sieged, under siege for a while, but they broke through the walls and they took most of the people off to exile in faraway Babylon. And we read that that wonderful temple Solomon built, they set fire to God's temple, broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword. So that wonderful temple Solomon spent so much time and money building, it was just left a burnt ruin. How tragic. And the people were taken off to Babylon for 70 years exile. God promised after 70 years they'd come back. God keeps his promises. So after 70 years, they returned, the remnant did. And the temple was rebuilt, but it wasn't the Pashan what Solomon had originally. They did rebuild it eventually in Nehemiah's and Ezra's time, but it wasn't the Pashan what Solomon had built. So Solomon, like all of us, was flawed, and a flawed leader has a bad impact on the nation, doesn't he? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they wouldn't accept him, would they? He recalled the Queen of Sheba. He said to them in Matthew 12, "The Queen of the South came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here." He was saying to them, "You think so much of Solomon, but you know, I'm here, I'm the Messiah. Greater than Solomon now, but you ought to listen to me. The greater than Solomon is here, but you won't listen." They rejected him. But the riches and wisdom of Solomon was nothing compared with what Jesus offers us if we turn to him in simple faith. Someone greater than Solomon has come. He offers us even more than Solomon's wealth, what Solomon's wealth couldn't buy. As Paul writes in Colossians, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Things money can't buy. That's what Jesus gives us. Things money can't buy. Forgiveness, eternal life. Money can't buy any of those things. Jesus gives them to us freely because he died for us and rose again. Now, human beings are incurably religious, aren't they? Archaeologists, wherever they go and dig up the past, they find temples and objects of worship. Wherever explorers go on the earth, however remote the tribe may be in the jungle somewhere, they will have a religion. They will have a belief in some supreme being or something outside of themselves. Well, that's because God made us in his image. He made us for a relationship with himself. And that's why people are searching. They often search the wrong places, don't they? But we are religious. We are made for God. God designed us, created us for himself. That's why wherever you go, you find religion. There's only one true way. In that quiz we had, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the one way. The people are searching. Matthew 7, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Queen of Sheba sought the truth, and she found it. We've all got the opportunity, haven't we, to search for the truth, to find it. She came from the ends of the earth, Jesus said. In those days it seemed like that, 1,000 miles. But we don't have to travel that far. We have to take just a step of faith, that's all. Not to travel 1,000 miles to find the truth. Just a step of faith to discover the truth about Jesus. Who he is and what he would do for those who put their faith in him. It's not too good to be true. The Queen of Sheba thought it probably was till she got there. It's not too good to be true what Jesus offers us, is it? Forgiveness, eternal life. It's not too good to be true. It is true. And as with the Queen of Sheba, when we put our faith in him, we find the half has not been told. It's much more wonderful than we could imagine, have faith in him. Blessings far beyond expectations. God does reward those who seek him. Brent Ian preached here and he took that text. We'll get to a moment actually, before we get there, Ian. This is the parable that Jesus told about a treasure hid in a field. This man was in a field and he accidentally came across a treasure. So what did he do? He covered it up, went and sold everything he had to buy that field so he could get that treasure. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's like that. Worth giving everything up for the blessings we get through serving God through Jesus. Greatest treasure we could ever have. And as Ian reminded us the other week, the text I was looking for was, consider the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich, for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And Jesus gave up the riches of heaven, came to earth to die on a cross for us, and rose again to guarantee eternal life to all who put their faith in him. We don't need to search. He came to search for us. But we can say, but Queen of Sheba, I've met him. It's really true. Sir James Simpson discovered chloroform. Wonderful discovery, but yet when he was asked what his great discovery was, he said, my greatest discovery is Jesus Christ is my Lord and Saviour. That was his greatest discovery. And it is the greatest discovery we can make. So what lessons can we learn from our story today? It's worth making an effort to find out the truth. Human leaders, like all of us, are flawed. One who is greater than Solomon won't let us down. And is worthy of our trust. And knowing him is the greatest treasure of all. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you do use flawed people.